What's up, PlayStation Nation? I'm your host, Chris Gillette, along with the Sponge Belt, Garth Moore.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. This is PlayStation Pizza episode 18. We'll talk PlayStation Vita gets hacked, Gran Turismo details, Titanfall 2, and more in this episode of 18 of PlayStation Pizza. This is GCN's PlayStation-centric podcast. So if you guys are looking for everything PlayStation, you came to the right destination. If you want, go favorite that website of ours, gamerk.squarespace.com, so you can find our podcast there every week. Go to iTunes or any podcast service around the world. You'll be able to find a PlayStation Pizza. Hit that subscribe, rate, and all that good stuff while you are there. Yeah, usually when we start the show, it's going to be me and Garth just talking about what we've been playing. So, Garth, you want to kick it off? I haven't talked to you too much this week, so it's going to be a little bit of a surprise of what you think.
The only time we talked was during Rollins. Like SmackDown.
Raw really and SmackDown, yeah.
That was really the only time we talked. We didn't really talk about games.
Yeah, we've been talking about wrestling lately. The wrestling's been pretty interesting lately. It's a good time of the year to be a wrestler.
Yeah. But anyways, but yeah, honestly, I haven't really been... I mean, I've been playing stuff, but nothing like really too interesting.
Okay.
I played some... our friend Exorcist, I played with him mostly on Zombie Army Trilogy this week.
I need to get him on here sometime because I love Exorcist. He's been a good guy to me.
I would really like that. I would have to talk to him and see if he wants to do something like that.
Right.
And see if he's down for that because I mean, he's not really a big social media guy, so I wouldn't know if he would be interested in that. But that would be good because he's very, very knowledgeable, very... opinionative on stuff, so I think he would like that. So maybe I'll talk to him tonight somehow, and I'll try to get him on here.
Yeah, well, if not tonight, I mean, it could be another time, you know.
Yeah. So sometime this week, and I'll tell him, hey, we got to get you on this next episode, or you know,
yeah,
whatever.
For sure, maybe we can do it next week. We'll hype it up this week if he's down to do it. Really quick, we had a comment by Yate Keaton.
All right.
They've seen our title for a video, you know, it says, the Vita gets hacked, you know, our description, all that. And they responded saying, no, I guess that's a bad thing for them. This could be a really good thing for the Vita, though, to be honest. But we'll get more into that as the show goes on. So anyways, Exorcist.
Yeah. So he couldn't beat this certain part on Zombie Army Trilogy, you know, because he's playing on the hardest difficulty.
Right.
So I assisted him, and, you know, I helped him out, and I helped him get past that final boss. He hated the final boss, which I did too. I mean, it's pretty cheap, you know.
Right.
He didn't do what me and you, I think me and you, we wanted to, like, kill ourselves pretty much. Like, when we played that game, we put it on, like, I think you put it on the extra enemies.
Yeah, it was like
I can't believe we did that.
I kept it challenging, man. Like usually, like,
yeah, I can't believe we did that.
Yeah,
but like,
well,
there was like three juggernauts like chasing us at times. But for me in Exorcist, that last part that me and you did, it was like way easier because there was a lot. Like
zombies.
Less enemies, but we did die fast, so okay. You know, it was ridiculous. You know how there was like three juggernauts sometimes at a time, we would only get one or two.
Wow!
So like,
I think I could have swore there was times where you gotten at least five, and it was like insane.
Oh yeah. So. Plus we got like a chainsaw guy at the same time too.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah. So that was ridiculous. But we're actually playing through it again on Sniper Elite because we're trying to get me the trophy now. To try to beat the game on Zombie Elite because we and him already beat the hard parts of the game on Zombie Elite, so I'm pretty much like all the other stuff is really easy. Okay. All the rest of the game really wasn't all that hard. Just towards the end of the game got pretty brutal, you know.
Right.
I don't know if you remember. But yeah, I still love playing that game. It's still very, very, very fun.
Yeah, it's a good game though, especially for its price, which is great.
Oh yeah.
Anything else?
I mean, not really much, just like little small shovelware stuff, you know, like just, I tried out the PlayStation Plus games.
Yeah, they you know what, what's that one game? Not the, the Rogue, what is that, Legacy or whatever that's called?
Whatever
game is called. The other one.
Yeah.
The one where you stack.
The Tower.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. Cool-ass game.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I guess it wasn't really anything that could keep my interest very long, but, you know, it was fun, I guess, for a little time that I did play it. That Rebel Galaxy was, I tried it. It was just, man, that's all it was. At least we got Yakuza 5, which I'll play this week. Give my thoughts on that the next episode, you know, so.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
But yeah, that's really it. I mean, too interesting for me in playing new games this week.
Me, I have been playing some WWE 2K16. Like, it's just, like you said, it's a grind. And after I figured out the hint of, you know, just challenging the champions and becoming the champion right away if you beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be playing on the easy difficulty and get those trophies with no problem. But it's just that the fact of, like, every month you have to wrestle nobodies after starting your rival. Yeah. So it's like, there's no build-up.
It's like so overdone, you know?
Right, there's no build-up to it, really. Yeah. And it's like,
Go ahead and keep talking. I got to go do something real
quick.
So
I've been fighting, you know, like, nobodies like Stardust and some other people. So even though Cody Rhodes is a great wrestler, it's just that I don't really care for his character Stardust too much. But, so I've just kind of been putting that down, but I have been playing, one of my favorites is GP Riptide Renegade right now, which me and Garth are going to be doing a review on that sometime this week, which you guys can check out. I'm really enjoying that game. If you're a fan of, Hydro Thunder, Wave Race, any kind of, like, Sea-Doo type of game, or, Arcade Racer, then this would definitely be right up your alley. The environments are ridiculously good. They did come out with another iteration of that game. The first two are mobile, and then they ported them over to consoles. It did come out on Xbox One first, GP Riptide 2. I did not play the first one on mobile. It was more of an Android game. I'm not sure if it came to the iTunes, or not iTunes, but the App Store on Apple, or Apple devices or anything like that. But I did play Riptide 2, which is a good game. It just felt like there was a little bit of lack of content there. Tough game, a lot of grind. This game has some more of that, but it's not a bad thing. It's just it has a lot more replayability and more replay value for sure. So I've just been enjoying the tracks they throw at you. They have stunt mode and stuff like that, which they did have in Riptide 2, but it didn't feel as good. But they do have a story in this one, which is kind of cool. It's nothing too crazy, something your arcade racer should have. It's kind of like you're racing the first race is actually a GP, like, professional circuit. And then, you jump into that, and it's kind of cheesy, but it isn't like, oh my god, like, the story doesn't overwhelm the entire game. So it's not like you have to really focus on that, but it is there, and it's something that if you're interested in, it's something to look forward to and to kind of progress in that. So that is pretty cool. But anyways, you get in trouble with the cops, Sicilia, and if you played Hydro Thunder or anything like that, or Hydro Thunder Hurricane on 360 or Windows 10, you'll notice that there's times where boat racing cops are actually after you, which is pretty silly. Hey, Garth, welcome back.
What's up?
I was talking about GP Riptide Renegade.
Oh yeah. That you know what? I don't have my PS4 on, like, in front of me, so I can't tell you what I played. That's what I played that I completely forgot about.
Yeah, I was telling them that our review will be up this week, then they could check that out sometime soon. But I was telling them what I was enjoying about the game. It does have a story, which is actually kind of cool, but it's cheesy. But it's not a problem because the game is arcade. So it doesn't matter. It's like, it's just there.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's just there if that's your type of thing. But I do really enjoy how the police boats are fucking with you while you're racing. And then the environments are cool, too. The levels are actually more interactive. You see stuff moving and vehicles and, like, rockets blasting off.
The water effects is nice.
Yeah, the water effects are really cool. I have to say this game is, like, Wave Race meets Hydro Thunder. if they had a love child, this is what game would come out. And maybe Jet Moto could be in the little love triangle as well. Yeah. I feel that too. I'm really enjoying it. The stunt mode is cool. Just like the first one, Riptide at GP2.
I finally passed that at stunt mode.
Oh, did you?
The first one. I finally passed it.
I like the analog trick controls. I like that in the first one. Reminds me a lot of Skate. Like, if you're a big fan of the Skate games, then it's pretty simple.
I prefer the old button layout tricks, like the circle with the...
Oh, like Tony Hawk kind of style?
No. If you play the ATV and the MX games back in the day on PS2, they actually had, like, circle.
Okay.
And then you press a direction on the stick, and it would do, like, a Superman or something.
Okay.
I prefer those because they're more easy to remember. But
okay. These can get tough, though, because they have certain combinations. Like, you'll have to do up on both sticks and then left on both sticks. And right and then left twice for, like, a double backflip. You can purchase... What I really like is you can purchase abilities like drafting. You can improve your drafting, which I've tried to get all my upgrades before I do the tricks. I like to focus on getting that 50% boost, that 25% boost when the race starts. Did you know that there's a quick ability to start the game on Riptide Renegade? Like, you have to hit the
quick ability to start.
Yeah, like the little robots that are on the outside of you, they actually give you like an electricity boost. I don't know if you've seen the AI do it at all, but if you hit your gas at a perfect time, you'll get that launch. I still haven't quite figured it out how you do it just yet on Riptide Renegade, but I'm enjoying the game. The environments are awesome. The tracks are awesome.
I'm actually stuck. It's very hard. Like, there's I'm in this race right now. My car was too powerful. Like, my jet was too powerful.
Okay.
So they put a restriction on my a restrictor plate, basically, on my jet.
Really? That's great.
So you can't just, like, oh, I'm going to power up myself and blow by these guys and win, no problem. You can't even do that. So you have to be on the same even playing ground as them. The problem with that is that I'm doing all these stunts to earn a boost.
Right.
Then I get the boost to pass them. But then when I pass them, I run out of boost.
Okay.
They end up passing me because I don't have very good straightaway speed, but they have good straightaway speed.
Okay,
I'm getting owned.
Okay, you maxed out your first jet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so have you tried upgrading, though, to see if, like, there's a certain, like, maybe, I don't know, class of moto or whatever their C-Do type of thing?
I tried using both jets because I passed the boss, the first boss, and I got his jet, too. So I pretty much, like, it wasn't fast enough. I used my one that I maxed out with. It came in third place, but it wasn't fast enough. So I went back to the other one, and it seemed like it was better, but then it wasn't fast enough. So I can only juggle between two. I wish it was like the other game, how you can buy jet skis, but you can't.
You can buy them in this game.
That's unfortunate. Not what I've seen. I can't find it.
Right before a race.
I only seen the. You only unlock those when you beat.
Oh, okay. No, like, you're right. I'm thinking of GP Riptide 2. Yeah, you can't.
You
buy
have
them.
To because you have to beat the boss and then you get
you unlock
a awarded one plus a skin as well.
You know, a really old school feel to it. Like, it really focuses on unlocks, like unlocking the new jet skis, unlocking the characters and stuff like that. It's really got an old school feel. It focuses on unlocks instead of in-game currency. So it's got a really old school feel to it. But I mean, it is tough, but I looked at the trophies before the game even came out, and a lot of people that actually already have the platinum, they say just focus on getting one star. Just go through the game, get one star, don't worry about getting three stars, because the last trophy you'll get is going through and three-starring everything. So they just say just focus on at least passing just the event, just pass it. Don't worry about getting three stars. It really doesn't matter. So that's... And Riptide Renegade. I recommend getting it, though. It's a good game. GP Riptide 2 is pretty good as well. It's just sometimes it's a little grindy. So if that's your thing and you want a lot out of a I got it for $11 and some change, so it's not a bad buy. It's still that way. I'm not sure if it's – is it still that price
for PlayStation? No, it's $14.99 okay. now.
It went back up this week, today, Tuesday, so store update. Changed all that.
It's only a couple dollars more, so I think it right. would be worth it if you're to something like that.
Right. I've been playing more Rocket League. I can't seem to put that down. It's my go-to multiplayer game at the moment. I can't stop. I don't know what it is about that game. I just cannot quit. It's Rocket League. Just keep like for the last year and some change. It's just like I get in my Rocket League phase, and it's really hard to pull away. So, what about you, Garth? You still have Rocket League installed?
Yeah, I still have it. I never deleted that game. I have it, right. but I never opened it.
Well, we'll get into some Cross Network Play stuff here in a little bit when we jump to the news, but. I really hope that happens because that would be cool to play with Julie in Dallas while they're over on Xbox or something. They're part of GCN, so that would be cool to play with them. I was going to ask you the other night if you wanted to play, but I figured you didn't, so I didn't ask. But
I probably did. No, I mean, I was probably playing other stuff, so I just okay. haven't been in the mood.
Right. I'm like the total opposite. I'm in the Rocket League mood and can't get out. So. All right, that's what we've been playing. Garth, you know what time it is. It's topic of the week. It's your turn this week. So last week, Dallas was with us.
Wait. It was my turn for topic?
Yeah, it was your turn for topic.
Because I brought a greatest hits game because I had the topic before, and then did Dallas chose the greatest hits, and then I thought you were going to have topic.
Oh, I thought this we were whole, going back this to whole, you. I thought this we were going back week. To you. What's up? What's going week, on this week? No,
this whole week I had a greatest hits and not a topic.
It could be easy. Yeah, I mean, you know, topics. How about we do this? We'll take one of the news. One of my favorite topics of the week, which we will do right now. And you know I love the Vita. You know I'm the big fan of the Vita. I'm on Vita Island. I'm with Colin and Greg. I'm hanging out with them on Vita Island. Okay.
Yeah.
So PS Vita is hacked. Full system access enabled for homebrew. Ever since 2011 launch of the PlayStation Vita, security has remained relatively inactive. We've seen a bunch of PSP emulators exploits, and around a year ago, a native Vita exploit was released for an older firmware that required the unit tethered to a PC. Now hacking collective team Molecule, that's funny, the name is Molecule, like Media Molecule, had to bring that up obviously, has released a new exploit that fully unlocks the full power of the Vita hardware for homebrew developers, dubbed Hinkaku is the name of it. The exploit is preposterously simple to install. Just ensure that you are running the latest firmware 3.6.0, then visit a specially prepared website to activate the exploit. The injected code removes the Vita's file system from its sandbox and allows the users to access it via FTP. From there, homebrew packages can be transferred across and run on the unit. The exploit also works with PlayStation TV and Vita TV. Micro console and open access of the file system means that the ability to whitelist all titles has now returned, meaning that the games which were bizarrely locked, including Sony's own, some of which worked great, can now once again run. If you're a PlayStation Plus user and you have the game on your system, but it's locked because you don't have PlayStation Plus at the moment, you can just unlock
it. You can play it.
And play it.
Nice.
Yeah, so this could be bad, though, for piracy. Like, let's say there's a file that you can use on emulating Android or Apple on your PC. There are APK files you can download, which means it's just the game or something, and you can just play it by downloading it. So if they have that and you can download it to your Vita, then maybe you can just play it without any problem, which could be bad because I don't really like piracy. Now, homebrewing is fine, like putting, you know, older games on your Vita and playing them on the go. Let's see, where was I? Can now once again run once you've unlocked them. Other applications including the ability for developers to create homebrew apps that overclock elements of the Vita at a level that's inaccessible to game developers. Right now, there isn't much to play on the homebrew-wise aside a Vita version of Doom and a shattering of emulators. But
I bet that's awesome.
Yeah,
a Vita version of Doom.
That would be cool. and expected.
The original Doom or like the PS4 version?
It just says Doom, so I'm guessing the original, not the PS4 version, obviously.
I'm guessing the original.
Yeah. Because the
PS4 version. I'm thinking like. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like,
right.
If they somehow like put like some more powerful games on the Vita for somehow, but
they are overclocking it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and they're able to access power that developers weren't, which is really cool. I wonder what that holds for the future. But it's expected that the release of Hinkaku, is what it's called, will see the situation change rapidly.
Hidden cock.
It's a hidden cock. That's good. Any such exploits opens the door to piracy. And while there are no anti-HD DMR measures in the package, Team Molecule accepts the possibility that pirates' commercial games may well happen. It does not let the install or run Vita backups, or any pirated content, says the developer. It does not disable any DRM features. It does not let you decrypt encrypted games. Here's my stance on this. I do not care one way or another about piracy. I do not judge people who do pirate. I will not act as a police for pirates. However, I will personally not write any tool that aids in piracy. It is my choice, just as it is the pirate's choice to steal the content. So it looks like the Vita is going to be like completely open to just about anything. I think we're going to start seeing people that don't have to go through spending money on developing games through like Sony's network. We're going to start seeing gaming applications from people. I don't know. We're going to start seeing silly shit. All kind, maybe even silly apps available to just throw on your Vita and use, which could be cool. Maybe we can get a Spotify app finally, randomly. You
know? So how does the space work? Do you have to still have to have like a big memory card to store all these hacked games?
Well, the good thing about older games, like N64, for instance, they're only like 27 megabytes.
Yeah, they're small.
So. The emulator isn't big either, so that wouldn't be a problem. Like a 16 gig memory card, excuse me, like myself that I have, I hold about 10 games, which is not a problem because half the time I don't even access those 10 games. Yeah. I'm showing one, like, plenty of attention, or two, one or two or three. Yeah. Then I got others to look forward to in my library if I want to delete or download. But if I have... Yeah. NES, SNES, N64, or let's say, I don't know if it can handle, I'm sure it can handle a lot of other, you know, emulators like PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, stuff like that, because we've seen plenty, I'm sure we can see possibly GameCube games running on the Vita, which wouldn't surprise me, because the Vita, if you haven't noticed or paid attention, has actually run dumbed-down games of PS3 versions, but yet looked really good, like Killzone, for instance, on the Vita. Like, holy shit, looks really good. And same with Uncharted. So I'm pretty sure we
could... Yeah, and like Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Right, yes, well, yes. You know? Good example. And Resistance, Burning Skies is a great-looking game, too, for Vita. But I'm sure we can see PS2 games and stuff on there, too, which is exciting. And if this takes off, which it sounds like it is
very, so far...
It'd make the Vita sell more, like the PSP. That's why.
Yeah. So. Like that. I was gonna say that. Like, because, like, pretty much, a lot of people bought PSPs to hack them and then and sell them back to make even more money. You know.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, yeah, anything can happen now. Really, I mean.
Right.
I have no problem with this at all.
No. I'm glad you don't. I think Homebrew is something like... Now, if you're downloading games from a site and playing them, I don't recommend that, especially if they're exclusives or third-party games on the Vita. Just buy them, because all the support helps. Now, if it's Homebrew, you know, emulators or something like that, then go right ahead, you know. I don't have any problem with Homebrews. And playing more games on the go, like Super Mario World on SNES, I'm more than happy to do so. That would be outstanding. So, and I'm sure if you could play your PS2 Persona games on the go, you'd be fucking happy. So, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, just any PS, you know, or your Crash games.
Crash games.
You can play a lot of crash games, like the crash games all ready. So, I mean,
right, yeah.
Which you could play a lot of other games, though.
That's sure. True. That's true.
That would be possibilities for certain things, even old, like, Dreamcast games.
Genesis yeah, that would games. Be nice. Yeah. Especially Genesis games would be cool, because that's what I was telling you the other day. It would be nice to play Sonic 1, 2, and 3 on my Vita, but for some reason they haven't brought them over, because last episode we talked about Sonic Mania and Project Sonic, so I think that would be really good. So, off the top of my head, the PS Vita gets hacked. The topic of the week, I assumed Garth was bringing it, so I was totally wrong about that. And Garth's dogs are going nuts. So, I don't know. Let us know, email us, or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/group/gamercade what you think of the PlayStation Vita hacked. Are you for homebrew? Are you for piracy? Any of that. Or let us know if you're watching at YouTube. If you're watching us live or watching us later, comment in the section below and let us know if you're for any of that. The PSP ended up selling tremendously and I think stayed on the market longer than expected because of this. Yeah, it opened up to homebrew and all of that. And it helped expand the life of the PSP and actually ended up selling like, how many, like 80, was it 80 million? I don't remember. It was a lot of PSPs. So if the Vita could actually ever get that, at least even 30 million in its life, that would be great. But I'm excited as a Vita owner. I might have to, if it does not let me do any of this on a updated version of my Vita, then I might just have to grab another one and do it. We'll see what happens. To play older games with dual analog sticks and be able to change that would be fucking wonders. So we'll have to see how that works out. So, Garth, that was my topic of the week. No, you're good. That was my bad.
Well, because the thing is, I think because I knew I had like the topic last week, right? Because I asked you and did Dallas, you know, what was the topic and everything. So I thought I would have the greatest hits because I had a topic last week. So I didn't even bother to ask. I didn't even, I was like, okay, I'm going to do greatest hits. You know, but then, you know, Dallas had greatest hits. So technically you didn't even do greatest hits.
Right.
Last week, so it kind of had confusing thing, you know, like
it did because we had a guest, which is what I guess part of Gamercade here. GCN,
he ruined the cycle.
He's never on. He's not really. He's been on like twice. Dallas has been twice here as a host, or not host, but a third host. The forever turning third chair. Yeah. All right, what do you say we get in some video game news? What do you say?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, the second title of this video, if you've already looked, you know, Gran Turismo Sport. I'm probably butchering this guy's name, by the way. Butchering it. Yamachi is the only name to give. Yamachi reveals some interesting shit, as with the title of the article. And this goes out to rosscommunity.com. They're the ones posting it, so shout out to them. Thank you for the info. Some interesting shit for Gran Turismo Sport. I know that me and you are both looking forward to this because we had Yules on here, episode 10 of PlayStation Feature, which you guys go check out on YouTube.com.
Yes.
That's GamerCade1986. Or you can go.
He can fill all your knowledge. If you're confused about Gran Turismo Sport and not sure, he'll explain everything about it.
For sure. So you go to our YouTube channel, you can check that episode out if you like, or to our website, GamerCade.squarespace.com. All right. Anyways, reading on. Even though the developers of Gran Turismo Sport have not given very much information at the annual gaming conventions, the president of Polyphony Digital, Kazunori Yamachi, has revealed... I hope I'm saying that correct.
Oh, wait. I know how to pronounce his name.
Do it. Let me hear you.
Kazunori Yamauchi.
Yamauchi Huchi. Okay. All right. Has revealed some interesting aspects on their new upcoming game in this series of interviews. First and foremost, we have found out that the company is planning on hiring real-life Formula One coaches to train the best players of the GT Academy. Holy shit, that's awesome. Probably only the ones that will be able to advance to the finals. This all makes sense, as Polyphony Digital have worked with many people involving motorsports in the past. Adrian Newey, to name just one. When GT Sport was announced, the developers stated that they are planning to kill two birds with one stone by making the game more appealing to the masses, which we talked about. They're making it somewhat casual to a certain extent, but yet more simulation to an extent as well, but more competitive with like esports and really making the game stand out as a simulation racer.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see, where was I? Two birds with one stone by making the game more appealing to the masses while also getting heavily involved on the esports side, which I just mentioned. Many thought that these two aspects would most definitely collide with one another, but Mr. Yamauchi, I don't know how you say it, but believes that...
Yamauchi.
Really, it doesn't even look like it's pronounced that way, but, you know, then again, that's not my language. Believes that even the novices will develop their skills over time, which I think is great to just hold people's hand in a way in this game and then put them to a level of simulation, like slowly help them, which Gran Turismo has not done in the past. They've never held your hand. So I think this is good for new players. I think it'll help the series grow. Let's see. But anyways, he believes that even the novices will develop their skills over time while also having fun in the process. They say anyone could be entertained for hours in front of the screen and improve as a simulation racing driver, as the game is recommended for people between the ages 7 and 77. Because the Nori translated...
I guess it sucks for 78-year-olds.
78, yeah. You know, there's some 78-year-old right now raging. Or some 6-year-old because... It says 7 to 77. But in translation, the words from Kazunori says, the offline contents of GT Sport are very ample and complicated. Sport mode is a small part of the game, but not all. The traditional pleasure of GT series is still there. Old fans can enjoy the game as usual. The hardcore simulation fans that are lucky enough to own both a PlayStation and an Xbox, or those who don't own any are thinking of buying one, will probably favor GT Sport. Yeah, of course. Go Gran Turismo, right? And its rival Forza Horizon, as the latter will only solely based on open roads, and even though the graphics are top of the line, feels more like a Need for Speed or Test Drive Unlimited game, which not necessarily bad. So he's saying that Sport is going to, well, let's see. He's comparing Forza to Need for Speed and the Test Drive Unlimited games. The other aspect that has been revealed about the upcoming GT Sport game is the fact that there will be fewer tracks and locations than in previous installments of the series. While that might be a disappointing factor of many people, the other good news is probably more important, that in fact that the car count will be drastically increased, kind of like how we did in Project Cars. The car count was ridiculous. What was it like, 30, over 30?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. It says, while that might be a disappointing factor to many people, the other good news is, you know, probably more important, that is the fact the car count won't be drastically increased. The Gran Turismo creator says, in the end, there will be 400 to 500 cars, and all cars have been remodeled, and there won't be any standard cars.
Yeah.
So, that's what he went on to
say. It doesn't surprise me that there'll be, like, less tracks. Because they got to like redesign all those tracks that they made in GT 5 and 6.
Right.
Now, I do hope that they have the same, you know, the world famous tracks that I love, like Trial Mountain. That's my all time favorite Gran Turismo track. Deep Forest.
Good tracks.
And a Grand Valley as well. Like those are the three tracks that I personally want. I really hope that they have those. And of course, the Nürburgring, and,
right?
Tsukuba Circuit and all that stuff. So I hope that all the main Gran Turismo popular tracks that are on there, but also as well, like I would want like some new tracks like. Infineon and Watkins Glen, but I don't know if we'll ever get those from a Gran Turismo game or not.
Right.
Since there's going to be less tracks, but you know, there's going to be over 200 cars. So that right there.
Well, right here he's saying 400 to 500 cars. Yeah. So.
Okay, so they upped the count then.
real quick,
because it was at 200. So now, yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's really good. Real quick, it says now that some of those cars may come as DLC or rewards because you just said 200 or something. So a lot of those could be a DLC or rewards, which is nice.
My thing is, my question is, what are they going to do with the Gran Turismo Vision cars? Because the Vision project in 6 was never complete. They had about half of the cars. Never finished them, which, you know, understandable. They take a long time, but I want to know if this Vision project that they're doing will continue over the sport, or they will probably do it maybe for 7. Either way is cool, but I kind of hope that they do continue it in this game, because I kind of want to see those cars.
Right. Maybe, I don't know. In this GT Sport, I don't see that happening. But then again, Gran Turismo 6, knowing that that was one of the worst-selling Gran Turismos in a long time, I don't know if they will continue support for that, especially when this comes out, and especially if it gets VR involved as well, and especially if GT Sport takes off. Now, there is, 43 million point something and some change PS4s out there, and Gran Turismo is the most-selling exclusive. So if this takes off, I don't really see them supporting Gran Turismo 6. If a little bit, maybe not at all.
Like I'm saying, I think they're going to drop support on 6 eventually.
Do you think the servers are gonna going go down to, like 5 did immediately?
Not immediately. Okay. I'd still say about it like a year after the game is out, because that's what 5 did. I think the game was out for like a year, maybe even 6 months of the game finally closed down.
Yeah.
About 6 or 7 months maybe. And then it'll maybe close down. I don't know how what they're going to do with those Vision cards. Would people still be able to access those? I do think that the Vision cards are still in Kaz's mind. Like, he wants to...
Oh, for sure.
Fulfill his dream with these Vision cards.
That seemed like a big...
Because I want to see all of them. I want to see, the... Nike one. There was supposed to be a Michael Jordan one,
right?
Too. I mean, so there was a Lamborghini, that one that was never unveiled. So there's tons and tons of manufacturers for the Vision car still left to go.
Yeah,
and that's what I want to see. And hopefully these Vision cars have interior, because those Vision cars didn't. None of them had interior. Which I understand, because they're not real cars. Anyways, I would like some interior.
Oh, yeah. Well, here it says that they will all be fleshed out, so you really won't have to worry about that. But it says there will certainly be a huge number of cars anyways in the standard version of the game. After all, it isn't that what all racing games enthusiasts want, or wants, maybe is more cars, just in general. More cars is good, but like you said, Garth, as long as they're not standard, basic, black interior, you want more interiors, you want more design. At this point, and especially in this generation, we want more.
Not only just standard black interior, but really, really shitty textures on the outside of the cars as well.
That too.
Some of the textures just look very blurry and fuzzed out, you know. I would love to get those. I would really hope Kaz in this for GT7 will... take those ones that were standard and turn them into premium. Because there's some beautiful cars that I love that are standard. Right. Like a lot of those prototypes and concept cars that I loved in the other games.
Well, did you see some of the gameplay where you've seen the older cars? I've seen some from PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3.
No, I haven't.
Really? Yeah, go back and look at the trailers and stuff. You'll see cars from the PS2 era. Same sponsors and stuff on them. Kind of like the Supra, the Castrol one is in there. So I'm sure you'll see some of your favorite standard cars. I'm sure you'll see
that. Like, I love that. I love that Jaguar that I love to drive. It's white. It's a race car, and I would love that one as well. So there's a lot of... like I said, the prototypes and concepts I really loved in that. So,
right,
like the K-trims, I would love a premium K-trim car.
K-trim, yes, obviously.
I love the K-trim. I love the K-trims.
I think everybody really enjoys those cars. I know they had an update with Drive Club where they had similar, you know, those cars too. So, all right, Gran Turismo, we can talk all day, literally talk all day about Gran Turismo. Like, I'm not kidding. So when Gran Turismo Sport comes out, expect live streams of us definitely playing.
Do you know if they're going to have go-karts in this one?
Nothing so far, but I wouldn't doubt it.
I would love go-karts.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I love go-karts.
This is definitely going to be online focused, so I'm sure that we can see some fun in there with go-karts. All right, next.
Yeah.
Not last. Not the last topic just yet. But Sony won't rule out cross-network play in the future. You know, as of recently, we've heard Xbox, or Microsoft, I should say, really trying to push us cross-network stuff. And Sony, they responded with the Final Fantasy XI on PS2 saying, we've been doing cross-network play since 2002. You know, we talked about this a while back. We've talked about it on the Gamescast. We've talked on here. Yeah. But as of recently, because Psyonix, Rocket League developers, they did say, they said that they just need to flip a switch and it will be ready to go, which would be awesome if we could play against Xbox players. Cool would it be, especially at esports, to come down to the finals, two teams, one Xbox, one's PlayStation. They can promote it at that.
Like SmackDown versus Raw.
Right, and except instead of blue versus red, it's blue versus green.
Green.
We would see a lot of the fanboys come out for sure, and it would probably make things a little more popular Rocket League, like, it's already popular, but this would definitely help, especially with the fanboy wars, if that still exists. But in an interview with IGN Me, we asked Sony's Jim Ryan if the publisher is coming around to the idea of allowing PSN and Xbox users to play together. It would appear that everyone is ready for cross-network play and except Sony. Rocket League developer Psyonix recently claimed that it can set up cross-network play between PS4 and Xbox One users within a few hours. If Sony gives a thumbs up with The Witcher 3 developer CD Projekt Red wants it to happen as well for its upcoming card game, Gwent, which is actually became a big part of Witcher in the game, which I have The Witcher and haven't started yet. I'm afraid to start that game.
Oh, I know.
I'm afraid if I start it, it's going to be hard to jump away.
It's a lot to take in when you first play that.
I'm sure. The second one, I heard, like, when I started the second one, a lot of people say that the third one actually holds your hand a little bit more than the second one, and I thought the second one was, like, ridiculous. they want it to happen as well with the card game Gwent. And heck, even Microsoft is ready to shake hands with Sony and jump in it together. So what's holding PlayStation back? In an interview with IGN Me, we asked Sony's global sales marketing lead, Jim Ryan, where is Sony standing on allowing people on different consoles to play together? Quote, there's been a lot of noise about this recently. There were certain statements made at E3, but our position has always been that we're receptive to this. He said, quote, it's nothing we've been doing for many years now. I think we started the cross-platform initiatively on the PS2. Like I mentioned with Final Fantasy XI. He says, in fact, in the early network days of that, there are a number of instances on PS3 when you upgraded from the PS3 to the PS4 generation on GTA 5, you could take your save cross-platform to your PS4, which we've seen that for a while it was exclusive to PS4, and eventually it was brought over to Xbox. So Sony has always been for it. We're completely open to this. It's really down to the developer and the publisher of certain games to come and talk to us. We're ready to have that conversation. Ryan kind of skirts around the topic instead of talking about cross-buy support with PlayStation platforms, as opposed to allowing PlayStation and Xbox users to play together. I really hope Sony does come around to the idea, because it will not only help users to pick up consoles of their choice, regardless of what their friends are playing on, but also add value and longevity to online game by increasing its overall user base. Our full interview with Jim Ryan will be published later. This is by IGN, so you guys want to go check it out on IGN. But anyways, Sony sounds like... how do I explain this? I don't know, man. Sony needs to quit being a dick. Pull that dildo out of their ass. Release what's in there, which is cross-network play, and allow it to happen. I know Sony's stubborn. I know they started this before Microsoft with PC and all that. But this is console cross-platform. Just let it happen. Just say yes. And they just need to quit being stubborn. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's multi-plats games anyways. Like, it's not like these, you know, everybody already has the same game. So it's not like, oh, we gotta get these, we gotta not support this so they could buy this game on our platform. Like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Because they already have the game.
Exactly, know? Exactly.
So, I mean, it's I don't really know what the whole...
I don't know what the whole
fuss is about. Maybe they're overthinking it or paranoid. Yeah, I really can't say because I'm not behind the offices of Sony and and hearing what they're saying. So I really can't say about this whole whole topic. I really am lost for words.
I don't blame you. I am too. And I'm kind of tired of hearing about it because I just wish Sony would just give in and just do it because quit being stubborn. We understand you started it, Sony, and we love you. That's why we do this podcast. So we wouldn't do a PlayStation-centric show here on GCN and going in 18 episodes of it if we didn't really care about Sony. So just do it. Just do it. Anyways, Garth, moving on to the next topic.
Yes.
Are you a big fan of Sniper Ghost Warrior? Because I am not.
I am not, no. I never played the game, but the game just looks manly.
Yeah. Well, LOL, the Crytek engine, care. And it doesn't look that good, especially on PS3. Well, I play a little bit of Sniper Ghost Warrior 2 on PlayStation Now. Ran great on PlayStation Now, no problem there. But it was just like, it just felt, I don't know. It didn't feel that good. Yeah. Nothing like Sniper Elite. Sniper Elite Now, on the other hand, good games. Yeah. Good games, not the best games.
Not the best games. Me and you have our gripes about it. When me and you played 3, we were just like, we complained a lot. We were like,
"Yeah,
oh, what is this? What is that like?" But it was a very fun
game. It wasn't a very content-rich game, but it was fun game. It's not a lot.
We got our ass kicked.
Yeah, fucking.
It took us a while to beat like certain levels, but we still beat it in like 8 hours.
Right, so
it was like pretty short. Short
definitely
game.
Short. And the Ultimate Edition actually didn't come with some content, which is bullshit. So it's definitely not the Ultimate Edition.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
And the best part of Sniper Elite 3 was one of the DLC missions that came with the Ultimate Edition. That's how...
Oh, yeah, I remember that. The DLC mission was actually pretty good.
Yes. Yes, it was.
It was short.
Yeah, it was short, but it was...
It was short.
It was better than the campaign, which is saying something. All right, but anyway, Sniper Ghost Warrior 3 pre-order unlock is a female character, an additional story campaign with that character. So you're unlocking an extra campaign by pre-ordering. JStation X Sniper Ghost Warrior pre-order. JStation X is the guy who did this article, and I wanted to talk about it. Sniper Ghost Warrior 3 pre-orders will unlock a female character, an additional single-player campaign called The Escape of Lydia. Now, when I first looked at this, I was like, that's really cool, but how sexist is it that they're making it like sex sales, apparently? Like, oh, look, we have a female character that you can pre-order. Here's how she looks. Doesn't she look sexy? And she comes with an extra campaign that she's in. Now, see, it looks cool, but then again,
come on. It's Sniper Ghost Warrior.
We're fucking 2016. Really. It looks like they're trying super hard. But anyways, that is cool, though, when it comes to the second campaign. Who knows, that campaign could be a mission long. It could be 2 missions long, or maybe 3. They haven't really given too many details on it, but if that is your thing,
I thought that would be... they got to do something to sell the game, right? I mean, this game probably doesn't really have much content, so they're like, well, I don't think it's a sexist thing. Maybe it's... I think it's just...
I don't think that's what they're going for. Right.
No. I think it was just sort of like a thing like, oh, well, we don't have very much, so let's just do this, you know?
Right.
Like, we'll just have something to say, the pre-order bonus.
I also have to say this. If it's already going to be in your game, just fucking put it in. Quit doing this bullshit.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, here's pre-order now and get Call of Duty 4 remastered. You know, like, fucking Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, for fuck's sakes, like. It's fucking ridiculous at this point. The generation of gaming we live in is good, and it's a good time to be a gamer, especially with all types of games we get. But when it comes to downloadable content, I don't see things changing for quite some time. Anyways, moving on to the next topic.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
All right, Garth, I'm sure you heard about how bad the newest Ghostbusters game is, right?
Oh, of course. And I'm not surprised.
I'm not either. It's not even, it didn't even take a year to make this game. But the 2009 Ghostbusters game by Atari.
Oh, I wish they, you know what they should have did? If Activision was smart, which obviously we knew they weren't smart enough, they could have just remastered that game and put it out like
no.
That was the best.
But here's the problem with that. They would have charged $100 for it.
Oh yeah, because you gotta have like they gotta have the because it's gotta have a bundle with the van and everything, and
right.
You gotta have a suit, a vacuum, and everything. Yeah, of course it has to be.
But just like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, they're $40.
Dude, they're two games. Like why is it the same price? Right. One should be cheaper than two because it's older.
Right.
So, like, why is it the same price?
Don't get me wrong.
And it has performance issues. Did you see
I did not watch Dips from Founder. I was wanting to watch it, but I skipped on it.
The frame rate's all over the place. It dips from 40 to 30 to 60 to 50. It's all over the place. And there's screen tearing.
Jesus Christ. What was it on PS3?
It was on PS4, yeah. And
or PS3.
This is a PS2 game. This is a PS2 game.
PS2 game, right.
And it's running like that. Like, come on. It's ridiculous.
Okay, cool thing. Don't get me wrong. It has trophies. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I want to play the game. I never played the game because I was never interested back then. You know, I didn't care. You know, but...
I will wait till it's on sale, and then it will be mine. But until then...
And you know what? Even when it's on sale, because Activision...
$20.
Games, when Activision games were on their on sale, they're still like $29.99.
Yeah, they take like $10 off.
like Deadpool. Like, if you want to get Deadpool, I want to get Deadpool, right?
Right.
You want Deadpool? We all want Deadpool. So pretty much, like, it was on sale, I think, last week or a couple of weeks ago, and it's still on sale. It was like $29.99.
Check
this
out.
Like, come on. Like, that's really high. Like, that's all right. Chris is doing something. He wants me to check something out. What is it? What is it?
Sorry if you're listening to the audio version, but here you go. Just go pick up the Deadpool on the PS3. And then you'll be fine. It's the same. It's what they did was they copy, paste, save as, and then throw it on the PS4. So just if you're watching the video, you can see it.
Yeah, all they did was hit copy, save copy, as, paste. And then they pasted it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there you have it.
With like a 1080p texture.
Yeah, they upscaled it, and that was it. And then you're good to go. All right, but anyways, what I was trying to get to, this is the Ghostbusters developer. Fireforge Games has filed bankruptcy, and they developed the new Ghostbusters game, so they're already filing bankruptcy, because the game obviously didn't do well with critics, so we've all seen that.
And gamers were smart enough not to buy it, you know, like, yeah.
Right, yeah, well, I'm not sure.
Because they were like,
I haven't looked and seen.
No?
I haven't looked and seen it yet, but, I mean, sure, there's Ghostbusters fans went out and...
Yeah, I guess.
You know, the majority of gamers are casuals.
but it was probably like, they probably didn't do as well, probably still, as they thought it was.
Definitely not. According to Kotaku, the company has been liquidated assets throughout the
world. Go ahead, keep talking. I'm going
to. Okay, in an attempt to pay off debt accumulating of around $12 million. Now, I don't know if this was before the game actually came out, but yeah. Their accumulated debt is $12 million. As you may know, the studio's new Ghostbuster game released on July 12th alongside the movie to poor reception, garnering a dreadful 31 on Metacritic, which is pretty damn bad. Not some of the worst, that's pretty bad. Such a low score comes to no surprise, as it has revealed that the game was developed in a mere 8 months. You don't do that. You don't go out and you tell your game that it's been, I know you're trying to make money, and some developers screw people over by doing this, such as Activision, for instance. Again, actually, I don't know if they published this one, but I'll have to look into that. But they did do Deadpool, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2. If they did do this, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm pretty sure they did, but I'll have to look into that. But anyways, for instance, the Spider-Man games, year after year, the games kept getting worse and worse with Activision. They kept throwing them out, annualizing it, trying to milk the series. And they went on to make the Ultimate Spider-Man 1, which was okay, and then the Ultimate Spider-Man 2, which I did play and finished. I don't know why I did that. You could ask me a million times, and I wouldn't be able to tell you. But anyways, that game was terrible. It was absolute garbage and trash. And that seems to be a ongoing thing with Activision, if they ended up doing this. And they ended up doing it with a lot of their franchises. Like, look at Tony Hawk, for instance. They went on to ruin that series. Before the contract was over with the Tony Hawk franchise, they wanted to make one more, which was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. And they just threw it together in less than a year, brought it out. I ended up buying it like a moron because I have a huge thing of nostalgia. When it comes to nostalgia, I have to get something. I love nostalgia, and I love that feeling of playing an old, you know, the title, for instance, is old, not the number 5 slapped on it. Even though I knew it was going to be the best game, I had to have it day one, and I paid full price. Yes, moron for sure. But did it pay off? No. Activision is just washing these titles that could be something into nothing. And as we see with the new Spider-Man game coming out, I know we're talking about Ghostbusters here, but this is just kind of how some of the industry is going. Like Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man game, for instance, one of the top developers in the industry is creating it, Insomniac Games. Yes, exclusive to the PS4, but it still looks fucking ridiculous. This is how some of these games can look. Now, if somebody else takes the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 franchise, let's say Insomniac Games was doing that, holy shit, could it look so much better. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes. All right, Garth, I'm glad you're back. I was just talking about how Activision likes to fuck up titles and stuff. Reading in this. But as you may know, the studio's new Ghostbuster game is released on July 12th alongside the movie to poor reception, garnering a dreadful 31 on Metacritic. Such a low score comes to no surprise.
31?
Yeah, comes to no surprise as it has been revealed that the game was developed in a mere 8 months, likely in rush to release alongside the movie. However, despite the game likely performing horribly, it appears Firefog's money problems stem from various other ongoing issues. Bankruptcy filing revealed that the developers owe around $11.3 million to Chinese investment companies, Tencent. In addition to the studio, has also been entangled in lawsuit with Min Productions, a company owned by Razer CEO Min Ling Tan. The lawsuit is said to be momentarily on hold as Fireforge sorts out its bankruptcy. But it doesn't end there. The filing has revealed that in 2015, lawyer Richard Land, the man responsible for selling games and IPs of 38 studios, following the company's closure, filed a lawsuit against the company over the breaking of contractual agreement. So it sounds like before they even made this game, they were fucked. I think what they did was they were like, hey, man, we can make a Ghostbusters game. The movies come out. And you know how much money we can make off of this? Look at the last game. Look how well it did. It didn't even have a movie coming out alongside it. So they decided to do this. It did not work out for them. So now they're really fucked. These people are really, really fucked. So it just wasn't a Activision thing. It was more of like they're just fucked in general. So I don't know what to say about this. I haven't seen the new Ghostbusters movie, but I've heard pretty good things, though.
Kind of a depressing story, really.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
The last little bit of news I have, Garth, I know you've been wanting to play a Titanfall game since the Titanfall game released on the Xbox One as an exclusive title. While Titanfall 2 is coming to the PS4, which we heard about earlier this year, Respawn Entertainment explains the decision to bring Titanfall 2 to the PS4 following the Xbox One exclusive original. Speaking during an interview with OPM, its official PlayStation magazine, UK, Respawn Entertainment CEO and founder Vince Sempella explained the importance to bringing Titanfall 2 to the PlayStation 4 in light of the original exclusivity with the Xbox. Quote, ultimately, it's about bringing as many people as possible to play the game. We spent years of our lives making these things, so we want as many people as possible to see them. It makes sense. Sempella explained, quote, We want player base so the games are more fun and more balanced. We want to get better games going, but it's also just this is all about the fans. It brings things to the world that people enjoy, so more the merrier. Titanfall 2 release date confirmed for fall 2016, so that's this year. Holy shit, does October already look fucking crazy? We got WWE 2K16. We got Tomb Raider coming out. We got so many fucking games. I can't even...
Yeah, I still disagree with the developers wanting to release Titanfall in October, because I still think that you know, all these games that come out in October,
right?
Would people really want to spend $120 on two first person shooters, Battlefield 1 and Titanfall? Because they come out a week apart, and would they want to spend that much? And especially, you know, for a community like Battlefield, right, that, you know, it has a lot of content, a lot of, you know, just tons of hours and hours. Would they really want to spend that, you know, an extra money on another type of game like that? I mean, I think that they should just delay the game, you know, polish it out, because I'm sure the game's going to have a day one patch anyways, right, or at least in the first couple weeks.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, release it in January or even February. And that way, it has its own shelf. Kind of got a nice, you know, got a nice playing time for Battlefield. They want something new and fresh. Titanfall 2 would be perfect. I don't think that that's a smart move for them, because it could hurt them. And I think that Titanfall 2 could be the odd man out of this October release of games, unfortunately.
You know, I for some reason I see the casuals running and spending $60 anyways, especially like if Battlefield isn't something that turns out to be quite too good. Now, you also got to realize that this audience is already on PC and is already on Xbox, so they're going to have the following. That's probably going to at least be a million people, but with the, you know, the following of the game sold like a mere million, maybe 0.5, sold better on the 360 did it, which it did on Xbox One, which you can understand that because the player base was more hefty over there than it was on the Xbox One. But on the PS4, best-selling console, like it or not, is the PlayStation for this generation. I see it still selling. With Hawken coming out and being well-received, people might want to be able to jump out of those mechs, and they can get that in Titanfall. But we'll have to wait and see. But I think that the casuals will run and gun to Titanfall 2. So I think that they'll check out Battlefield, and they'll go, you know what? This game is really good. I like it. Holy shit, Titanfall comes out, and they'll probably just throw $60 at it, no problem. I see the game doing okay. Then again, who knows? Yeah. It could still get delayed. We still have time until the game comes out. So we still don't even have
any exact date. The game.
It's just 2016 so far.
Because I see the game selling, but I see one of those communities on one of those games dying, because are people really going to want to bounce from Battlefield to Titanfall back and forth? I mean, I would.
I don't know. But,
I mean, it's just, you know, I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't rely on. I wouldn't think that one. I think one of these games is going to suffer from this, and I think it could be Titanfall.
Could be,
because Battlefield has more of a loyal fan base. It has its fan base already. Titanfall has a fan base, but it's still trying to establish itself because it was only on one platform, so, or technically two platforms. But, I'm not saying that I hope it. You know, it's I hope they do shit. No, I hope it does well. I mean, because I want to play the game myself.
Oh, for sure.
I think
it'll do okay. If not, hopefully better. But I was wrong about the date. Publisher Electronic Arts announced earlier this summer that Titanfall 2 will PS4, PC, and Xbox One on October 28th, 2016. This puts the science fiction shooter in close proximity to another major EA release, which we're talking about, namely Battlefield 1. And like the first installment in a mech-based franchise, Titanfall 2 will be equipped with a full-fledged single-player campaign, which is a good selling point for me, in addition to its robust multiplayer features. Respawn recently announced that Titanfall 2 will support multiplayer game services in order to combat server downtime, which is good. And who knows, the cross-network play stuff, Sony could have jumped in by this point, and who knows, we can see it in more games like Titanfall or Battlefield. We'll have to wait and see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right, Garth, what do you say? That's it for the news.
Right, so tell me, if I wanted to go to the store this week, and you know, or even the digital store this week, and go buy a game, what would be out?
What would be out? You came to the right place. This is your ultimate destination for everything PlayStation. We go to the PlayStation blog. That is blog.us.playstation.com. You can go check out the drop every week and see what is going out. This week is a little lackluster, but not, you know.
Oh.
But there is some good titles, but I won't mention those. One of the titles I think looks the best, reminds me a lot of Journey, is Abzu. PS4 Digital, From the artistic mind behind Journey, Abzu is a beautiful underwater adventure that evokes the dream of diving. Immerse yourself in a vibrant hidden world, bursting with color and life as you descend into the heart of the ocean. Looks good. I really want to get this
game. I want to play that. They say it's like a Journey, but you're underwater.
And which I think it was like the same team. It on like, PSN. Go and look at it on YouTube. It looks next is beautiful. A lot of an episode of people are looking forward to Batman the Telltale series episode 1 Realm of Shadows, PS4 digital only at this time. Enter the fractured psyche of Bruce Wayne and discover the powerful and far-reached consequences of your choices as the Dark Knight. In the gritty and violent new story, you'll make discoveries that will shatter Bruce Wayne's world and the already fragile stability of the corrupt Gotham City. Also, when you're streaming this game, people can help you make decisions, which is really cool. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see how that goes. Breach and Clear, which is a game that's already out on Vita and I believe on PS3. I'm not for sure. I could be wrong about that. But this game is for PS4 digital. It's Breach and Clear Deadline. Digital, it's out 8/4. So that will be Thursday. A Thursday release. A deadly new breed of human monsters is on the rise and is up to players to stop infestation before it spreads. Breach and Clear Deadline is all new follow-up to the Breach and Clear, the critically acclaimed hybrid tactical strategy game. Next game up, Cannon Brawl, PS4 Digital. Pilot an airship, command powerful weapons, emplacements like cannons, giant flamethrowers, and high-powered lasers. Destroy the very earth from under your enemy's feet. Cannonball is an exciting mix of RTS, artillery gameplay, and its whole new genre in the strategy of games. Alright, next we have Galgun Double Piece for PS4 and PS Vita. It's digital and retail, which is awesome, so you can probably get it. I didn't say only for PS4, but looks like you can get it for retail with Vita, so if you're a collector, it's good news. When Hode is shot by Cupid Angel Ikoro, he becomes immensely popular, and suddenly every girl at the academy becomes hot for him. Sounds funny as fuck. Other being irresistible is hardly a dream come true. Every love letter, shout of adulation, and advancing kisses drains his energy. And worse, if he doesn't find his one true love by the end of the day, he will become cursed and forever alone. This next release was supposed to come out last week, but ended up moving to this week. Got a slight delay. Laser Disco Defenders for PS Vita Digital. Join the Laser Disco Defenders on their quest to defeat the evil lord Monotone and prevent him from using the coveted Mirror Moon to force the galaxy into dance along to his and only his tune. In a self-inflicted bullet hell, you must stay on your toes as much laser beam fired ricochets off walls and can hit you as well. All right, the next is a point-and-click type of game, which is some of those games are pretty cool. Nightmares from the Deep, The Cursed Heart, PS4 digital only. Nightmares from the Deep is a classic adventure game that tells a gripping tale of undying love. Assume the role of a museum curator, Sarah Black, and take control of your destiny to stop the undead Captain Remington and save your daughter's life. The only reason I know this is a point and click is because of the title. There is more like this, but it doesn't tell that in the description. Shame on them. So you can trick to easily buying this if that's not a game for you. Next is a game that a lot of people are actually talking about. I think it would be a cool game on Vita. Is Overcooked. It's PS4 digital. Overcooked is a chaotic couch co-op cooking game for one to four players, which sounds really cool. Working as a team, you and your fellow chefs must prepare, cook, and serve a variety of tasty orders before the bang customers storm out and to huff.
Sounds like something like a Taco Master.
Master in a way, but with co-op, which is crazy. Sounds pretty crazy. Taco Master got fucking insane, man. So hard.
It got hard.
Jesus Christ. You have to be so quick at swiping. It's insane. Right, next, if you're a big fan of Risk, the board game, they're coming out with a PS4 and PS3 digital title called Risk Urban Assault. Lead your troops to victory with Risk Urban Assault in a post-apocalyptic world. Rally your armies and march across some of the most famous cities around the globe. From Shanghai to New York, be cunning and play strategically to defeat your opponents. Next one is a PlayStation Plus game that came out. I think this is possibly one of the best PlayStation Plus games that's come out this month, besides Yakuza 5, which is on PS3. Tricky Towers, PS4 Digital. With your brilliant robe and magic powers, it's time to build some tricky towers. Stack your bricks to create a stable tower and try to topple those of your opponents. Cast magic to support your structure and fend off the dark spells of your rivals in this frantic physic party game. This is cool because it's actually multiplayer, and it's also local as well. So playing with friends, it could be really be fun for couch co-op. Also, they have PlayStation Music, PlayStation Video, and PlayStation View updated schedule on the PlayStation blog. You guys can go over to blog.us.playstation.com, go to the weekly drop, the drop of 8/2/2016, and you can check out the rest of that. That's it for the video games and the drop for this week. It's kind of light, so pick up Abzu or something like that, or maybe the Batman.
Oh, man. Abzu looks awesome.
Or maybe the
PlayStation Plus game, too.
If you're interested. But that's it for...
Or you could pick up Ape Escape 2.
Yes, it is like $7.99, I believe, for PlayStation Plus users.
So,
Like that. Garth, but that is it for the week releases and the news and all that good stuff. You know what time it is. It's time for Greatest Hits Game of the Week. And it is your turn. No confusion now.
Yes. Now I feel bad because now I'm sure you were probably like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring this PS2 game. Yeah. And then I sneak it. Take it away from you.
Take it away. Right out from under my feet.
Unless me and you can both do it. That way, it's a win-win.
You know what? I'm going to let you take this one because usually a game you pick catches me off guard, but it is a good one. So I believe in you.
All right. Next week, I promise I'll have a topic.
It's fine. It's just we had a guest on here, and it's a little confusion. So it's not a big deal. Not a big deal.
All right. So next time we do have a guest, I'll go to you and be like, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing? What's going on? Okay, so this one, here, I'm pretty sure we would be prepared.
Okay, so pretty much this game it reminded me of like, oh, wow. After playing Riptide Renegade, I was like, okay, I'll bring this as a classic, as the PlayStation greatest hits.
Awesome, and I think I know what you're going to say, but...
It is one of Metal Jesus Rock's favorite PS2 games, Splashdown Rides Gone Wild.
Woo! Good one.
Did you ever play that
game? I did not play that one, but I've heard good things, and I plan on checking that out. Plan on it. What if they bring that over with trophies? Just bring it.
Oh, yeah. Updated
visuals, all that.
Yeah, or even just the original Splashdown as well. I preferred Splashdown Rise Gone Wild because of the tracks. But the tracks in this game are some of the best. You know, like, there's like prehistoric tracks.
That's cool.
With the, dinosaurs and everything, and the water looks amazing. Do you know
how are the tricks in that game, by the way? How are the tricks? Are they ridiculous?
No, they're exactly you know what the tricks are? The animation and the tricks are exactly like the ATV
Okay. So they're kind of on the realistic side then.
Do you know who developed this game?
I'm gonna take a shot in the dark and I'm gonna say Rainbow Studios did this game as well.
Yes.
Okay.
They did. It's the same exact engine. That was a good guess. It was the same exact engine as the Fury games. So it plays very similar. The physics and everything has weight. So nice. It plays great. You know, the graphics are nice. So the game would still hold up. It's a humorous game. So the characters that you choose will say wacky things. The tracks, I mean, like, I've never played a jet ski game with these crazy tracks, I mean, they're so good, they're so fun,
Right, and they got the big jumps that are just out of this world.
They got big jumps, and you can do flips. What's stupid is that you could do backflips, but it doesn't give you points for backflips. It's like the game is programmed to only you pressing the buttons. It doesn't know that you do a backflip or like a front flip. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess that's too
bad. But I love cutting into the wave. I love to do the flip and then going inside
the wave.
Water and going splashing inside the water and coming back up from all the momentum and everything, doing another flip without even hitting it because I came so forced down. Like, the physics are so fun, too.
I wish
there was also a freestyle mode, and if you don't like those somehow don't like those tracks that you, that the awesome tracks that they give you. There's also supercross tracks as well.
That's cool. That is cool. More of a dirt bike style. You know, since we're on the Riptide Renegade and kind of like Splashdown and all that, Splashdown was, Wave Race 64. They had a Screw Attack did this. I don't know if you're a big fan of Screw Attack or you know who they are. But on YouTube, they did a video of Wave Race 64, and they have this character that's unlockable. He's a big chubby guy, right? Big chubby dude. And he's so hard to do tricks with. And it's so funny, like, to do a barrel roll with him because his weight actually takes control, or it's very realistic. So it kind of reminded me when he said he went underwater, because there'd be times where he'd do a barrel roll, and when he would actually land it, he would go underwater because he's so heavy. Now, on Riptide Renegade, there's been times where I hit a big jump, and I'll actually go underwater a little bit, but I don't shoot up from the momentum, which sucks. I wish that would happen. But the water physics are really cool.
I love doing that in Splashdown. You actually shoot up because, like, the waves and everything are so tense that you just shoot up.
Do you still have that game?
Yeah, it's... No, I don't. Oh, man. I sold it like a couple of years back.
I'll have to get that, man. Yes,
but I loved it. It was only like the game didn't even release at a full $50. It actually released at like $30 or $40. So it was actually an affordable game.
Nice.
And there was so much fun stuff to do in that game. It was an exclusive to PS2 as well. That's not nice. Very many people about that game, but it was on Metal Jesus Rocks and Hidden Gems. It's definitely up there with mine as well.
Nice. And, yeah, I would say that's a good ass game.
I would hope to see
Rides that. Gone Wild, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the entire title?
Splashdown Rides Gone Wild.
Rides Gone Wild, okay.
Yeah, so it actually came out late in the PS2 generation. I think it came out in like 2005.
Oh, wow.
So it came out pretty late. But there was
a must buy.
But a must buy. I would rather play this over Jet Moto any day because Jet Moto doesn't hold up that well.
Okay.
Jet Moto's, you know, clunky. The frame rate isn't that smooth. No, this game Jet Moto still
ended up being trash later on. It didn't you know, hold up after many years went by. That's for sure.
Like single tracks games. All of single tracks games don't really hold up that well.
So Splashdown, like, Rides Gone Wild.
Splashdown, Rides Gone Wild by Rainbow Studios, the guys who make the MX games.
Right. They went on to do the MX versus ATV, Supercross, and then Supercross Encore, which is on PS4 and Xbox One now. But it seems like they're not going to move away from that genre at all. It seems like they're going to stay there forever in those type of games, which doesn't bother me because I think they make pretty good games.
So. Yeah. Hopefully Nordic Games somehow, like they, because they own that studio.
But it would be cool if they did something like that.
They actually do have Splashdown. Did you know that there was an Xbox version of the original Splashdown?
No, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was actually
the original Splashdown. Okay.
The original Splashdown, there was an Xbox version. It was superior too, because obviously, you know, it looked better.
Right.
But I'll have to check that out. There was a superior version Xbox Splashdown.
Very, very nice. So Splashdown, Rides Gone Wild, if you don't have it on PS2, it is a must-buy considering the
garbage. There was only two Splashdown games, and I felt like that series should have deserved way more games.
Well, there's a lot of games that come out of that, especially that generation, you know, like the Xbox and the OG Xbox, PS2, and the GameCube. And it seems like there was a lot of series, a lot of, you know, beginning of franchises. Well, franchises, there's only two games, but should have gone on to be more because they were so good. There's so many good games, especially arcade racers around that time that just it didn't really quite take off.
I don't think Rides Gone Wild sold very well. Maybe that's why it didn't take off, because it didn't really take off. I mean, like, it was advertised a lot. Like, it was advertised on commercials, but no one I knew had it. It was just, like, just nobody really talked about it.
And also, it could have got lost in all the, like, PS2 releases that came out late, because there was pretty good games like God of War and stuff. Shadow of the Colossus that came out late as well. So it could have got overshadowed.
Yeah,
it
came out in 2005.
Like, right.
Yeah.
So awesome pick, Garth. Once again, you caught me off guard, but then again, Riptide Renegade just came out, so I can kind of see that.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me. You know how you said that Riptide Renegade reminds you of those games that you mentioned earlier, you know, like the Wave Race 64. Splashdown, this reminds me of Splashdown, even though it's actually completely different than Splashdown.
Right.
But the last jet ski game that I played was Splashdown, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a surprise for me. It was That was like a dead giveaway. I was like, oh, I'll just do Splashdown. I was going to do actually a different game. But I was like, eh, I'll do Splash.
Yeah, we'll save that game for another week. I'll have a good one next week, I promise. Yeah. So you guys can see my greatest hits game choice next week, and you can see Gart's topic of the week for PlayStation Pizza, episode 19. Let us know. Email us at PlayStationAndPizza.com or at gmail.com if you guys want to let us know what you think of Splashdown. Or you can go to our Facebook page. With the conversation always continues over there, Facebook.com/GamerCade. So you guys can go over there. Let us know what you think about Splashdown. You know what? I think I might make a poll on what is your favorite type of game.
Jet ski
type of game. We should do that and see how that goes. And then
Splashdown, Wave Race 64, and Jet Moto. And you know, you could probably put another
We'll probably even put Riptide Renegade in there just to see what people say early on about that. Probably not a lot of people so far.
Yeah,
I think I've seen the likes, which doesn't mean how many people actually bought it. It was like 241. I think it actually went up from there a little bit. But a game like that, you probably won't expect to sell too much. And you know what? The loading times in that game? Holy shit. So quick. And even a Riptide, it's, too. Like, instant.
Like, it's not even one of those games where you, like, go on your phone to check because, like, you know, the game is loading.
Right.
I could reach for my phone. Oh, it's already done.
Yeah, exactly. That's how fast it is. Yeah. But yeah, let us know, guys, at our Facebook page and all that. Facebook.com/group/GamerCade. Let us know what you think about Splashdown, Ride's Gone Wild. This has been episode 18, actually, of PlayStation and Pizza. I'm your host, Chris Lett, along with SpongeBob Garth Moore. Garth, go ahead and plug your PSN ID and all that good stuff where they can find you on social media.
My PSN ID is very simple. It's SpongeBob. And, you know, for Instagram, is SpongeBob. Well, I have just Google SpongeBob on Google, and I come up.
Lovely.
Just see what comes up.
You can find him sometimes on the Games Cast for GCN, such as myself.
I'm on there every now and then.
Yeah. And last episode, I think it was 53, was the last one I hosted. Handing go to the torch over to Dallas on that. I will be here permanently on PlayStation and Pizza. I won't be gone from the Games Cast. I will be there from time to time. We have a couple of good interviews and stuff and special guests coming up on there.
Just not your primary show anymore.
Right, I will be here. This will be my main stage. You guys can see me on here. I will still be on everything GCN and GamerCade, so don't think I'm disappearing. It's just I'm handing over the torch to him. It'll help me focus more on this show, and Julia, Dallas, and Brett can focus more on that show, and then me and you could show some love to this show. We're just kind of spreading our personalities around and letting everyone get a little bit of the spotlight here. At,
I tell you what, Chris, GCN. They're going to turn that show into an Xbox show. Watch.
it's all games.
So,
I'm they're more kidding. Than happy to talk, right? They're more than happy to talk about Xbox, but I did tell them it's like a brand split. Me and you are WWE fans, and I'm our wrestling fans. In general, like I like TNA and stuff, but I told him it's like a brand split. I want to see ratings. I want to see ratings. Change. So I told him to make the show their own.
Like in Vince McMahon voice, I want to see you kill each other.
I want to see you kill each other. Like that. There you go. But anyways, if you're watching or listening to the audio, it might sound funny or look funny on the video version. But anyways, GCN will kind of have its own little twist. Give Dallas a chance. I'm sure he will do well. He's hosted a few episodes that I haven't been there. I was there for almost every episode. I've been here for every episode.
You were on an incredible streak.
And yeah, and on the Games Cast, which I created, GamerCade in general, and started the Games Cast, our first, we did Unwind for a while. I think we had like 12 episodes of that. I was there for almost every one until I handed over to former people of GCN, which are no longer here with us. But yeah, so don't expect me on there as much, sadly. If you liked it because I was on there, you can always come over here to PlayStation and Pizza. This show will keep going on and on. If you want to find me on PSN, though, it's XKillXZoneX. Just add me on there. Right now, my real name is John Bina, so don't be turned off of that. Like I said, I'm a wrestling fan. That's kind of silly to me. I've kept that for a while. I don't like to change my name too much. I kind of let it sink into people so they don't get confused and if I change it a lot. Now, you, Garth, I know you like to change yours a lot.
Mine, I'm actually going to keep mine for quite some time.
Yeah, I like yours. I like that a lot, Behind Blue Eyes.
Yeah, I got mine at Behind Blue Eyes, so I'm not really changing. I don't plan on changing.
For quite some time. But anyways, this has been PlayStation and Pizza Episode 18. You can find us on podcast services all around the world. I'm your host, Chris Gillette, and you can find Garth Moore, the SpongeBob, with me every week. Next week, we might have a buddy of ours, Exorcist, on here. Not quite sure. We can talk some cool
stuff. I'm going to talk to him this week.
We'll definitely talk some about that. And also, you can see other GCN members on here, like Julia, Brett, and Dallas, which are mainly on the Gamescast. But really, this has been Episode 18 of PlayStation and Pizza, your ultimate destination for everything PlayStation, GCN's centric, a PlayStation centric podcast, I must say. Also, don't forget to go over to GamerCade.squarespace.com, our website, check out the podcast tab and all that good stuff. Our social media is GamerCade1986. Same thing with YouTube, YouTube.com/GamerCade1986. Like, rate, subscribe, all those social media sites. Until next time, guys, game on.